subject has been biblical answers to everyday problems, and last week we started with the subject of anger. And the author of the little booklet that has prompted this subject is named David Powlison, and he goes through a couple of different, or several different lies about anger that especially focus on the idea that anger is natural and that it is a healthy expression, and we've looked at a couple of the lies that started off with that. And today I want to look at one of the lies that it concerns anger, and one of the roots of anger that some people will identify is by saying, my big problem is that I'm angry with myself. And that anger then bubbles up or boils out to affect other people as well. And last week, one of the lies was, I'm angry at God, and there's some similarities with anger at God and anger itself that could be repeated under this heading. I'm going to focus especially on this idea that I'm angry at myself, and to look at the worldly solution to that. The answer that is often given is that I need to practice forgiving myself, and then I'm able to forgive others. And once more, a worldly answer to anger in this fashion treats anger as something natural, as healthy to express, and what we need to do is to learn to manage it through proper self-esteem and self-forgiveness. But if we dissect this idea of being angry at myself a little bit further, we'd find some very wrong motivations in being angry this way. If you dissect it further, anger itself usually seems to revolve around a failure to live up to standards, and those standards may be right or wrong, but then the solution is to either explain those standards away or explain my failure away. So the standard may be wrong in the first place. I expect to live at a certain level of wealth or a certain level of expertise, but all of these turkeys around me keep dragging me down, or whatever the case is. You identify reasons why you're failing to live up to a standard that you want. It can even be as simple as I can't draw as well as my sister does, or it can start as children. You have certain things that you can't live up to, those to standards that you have set or that you have expectations around you. On the other hand, the standard may be right. God's standards do call you to tell the truth, to live a life of sexual purity, to not be lazy. And you may indeed fail to live up to those standards, and your conscience is something that may bother you because of that, and bother you in such a way that rather than actually confronting and repenting of the sin that you're in, you lose your temper, lose control of your temper, and get angry. In this case, the standard is wrong, but it misses the point of repentance, forgiveness, and renewed obedience as the solution. Another aspect of wrong foundations and being angry at myself is wrong perspective. Here the author, Powlison, observes that anger requires a judge because they are the ones who make those judgments. And so when you're angry at yourself, you often assume to yourself the role of judge, jury, and executioner. Which is kind of funny because you're also the plaintiff in this case, too. But haven't you ever said of someone, or maybe of yourself, that he's his own worst critic? Right? So we criticize ourselves, and there's sometimes a good side to that when we're self-aware of our limitations. But when this anger becomes an expression about who I am, a perspective is lost that that a believer ought to have about their relationship with God, that God is the judge. And as I've had opportunity to counsel with people, sometimes there are opportunities where I point them to God who forgives sins. I point them to the scripture passages that speak about that forgiveness of sins. And I've had people say this to me, that they acknowledge the truth of what the Bible says of God's forgiveness of sins, but they just can't forgive themselves. And here's where the perspective is skewed, or where the perspective is wrong. And can you see how that, even that phrase says, I can acknowledge that God can forgive me, but I can't forgive myself. Who is the most important judge in this case? I am. And a person places their judgment of themselves in the place of God, and they wipe away all of what God says about forgiveness and all of what God says about repentance leading to restored relationship. And in disregard and in disbelief of what God says, they replace God's perspective with their own. And that's where this idea of wrong perspective comes in. Another aspect of this lie is that that you can have the wrong Savior. So, much like someone who says, I can't forgive myself, someone who can't forgive themselves will look for other ways to be delivered from whatever their conscience is prompting them to recognize that they haven't lived up to that standard. So if I can't forgive myself, then I'm going to make him pay. And there are even whole theologies that revolve around making you pay for your guilt, making you pay for not living up to your to the standards, whether rightly or wrongly applied to you. So some will enter into a program of self-inflicted punishment because of their own sin, anger at themselves, so that they either actually hurt themselves or take their anger out on themselves and then on others as an expression of trying to pay for what they have done wrong. As you might imagine, if you follow these lies, you set yourself up for more failure. You can't save yourself. You can't atone for your sins of your past. You can't live a perfect life going forward. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much penance you put yourself through, you will not be able to cleanse yourself from your failures. And no amount of self-righteous or self-indignation directed at yourself it will ever heal that. By the way, just a 30-second observation, most other religions leave you with this burden of guilt and leave you trying to solve it by some self-inflicted method or program of self-betterment. And it's small wonder that we're in an angry society, because we have no solution for our guilt. And what a frustration that is, whether it be atheism or Mormonism or Roman Catholicism or any other religion. It's a burden of self-inflicted or self-saving, works-based religion. So I had to be brief today, and I entered into this, and I skipped over unintentionally the verses that I wanted to read. I'll close by reading those verses and give you two other passages to read on your own. I'd encourage you to read Matthew 5, 21 and 22. That's from the Sermon on the Mount. It speaks about anger at someone else, but you can also understand that as anger directed at yourself. You can also look at James 1, 19 through 20. We cited this last week. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And so anger at yourself is... you can't explain away your anger as, well, I'm just angry at myself. That won't produce the righteousness of God either. The passage I'll read is Ephesians 4, 26 through 32. I'll have more to say about this next week too. I'm going to expand on biblical answers to anger next week. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So, just addressing the lie that your sinful anger is explainable because you're just angry with yourself. Meditate on this aspect of being angry and do not sin. And put away wrath, anger, and malice that produces words that are not fit for edification and rather tear down. I've gone over a little bit today. I will take up this subject again next week, and actually 2 weeks since I'll be gone next week, and take up some biblical solutions. We've looked at the lies, and we'll then turn at the biblical solutions. Let's close in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, I'm glad that each day we can come to you and find that that your grace is sufficient for every need. God, we confess that there are many lies that we've believed about anger. I pray, Lord, that you would help us not to live with it as acceptable, or even think that we could manage it and that it's healthy to manage. Instead, Lord, I pray that you would instead help us to understand the sinful roots of our anger and to not explain them away, and especially not to adopt a posture that it's okay to be angry at myself and then to vent that on others. God, I pray that we would have the right perspective, that you, God, do call us and command us to repent, and that you do forgive when we don't live up to your standards and we do repent. God, I pray that you would help us to do so and to follow that path. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.